This is Let's Keep It Real with Sandy Joy Weston, your weekly dose of positivity with awesome stories and guests from all over the world. It's an opportunity to learn some great new things and expand your mind. We'll tackle topics from all areas of life, and as always with Sandy, the sky's the limit.
Hello, hello, my Let's Keep It Real people. You asked for it. I'm bringing it to you. You're like, Sandy, we need more direction on how to have a motivational, powerful mindset while building a business. I just might have a few people in mind, I said. But this guest, when I met him, I thought, woohoo, the people out there in the Let's Keep It Real land are going to love him. And you're also going to love his unique take on how to keep that mindset. But before we get into it, let me tell you a little bit about Craig Cook. He is, so here you go, people, a successful entrepreneur who had the foresight to start a digital first, I love this company, utilizing the internet long before digital first, digital transformation, and other buzzwords of today were created. We like them already. With extremely limited resources, now, this is the good part, of $1,300 and an Apple computer, he started rhythmnet.com with a couple of friends from college. Over the years of struggle, adaptation, and repositioning the brand, Rhythm was sold to a world-class digital creative agency in 2019. Craig stayed with the company for just over 3 years, completing a 26-year marathon of running the company as CEO. During his tenure at Rhythm, Craig worked with middle market to large enterprise companies. Today, as an award-winning author, I'm sure he's going to tell us about his book, Craig shares his business wisdom, experience, and expertise combined with energetic practices to provide a truly unique perspective and method in working with professionals across a wide variety of industries. Craig, I'm so glad that we get to chat again.
Yeah, same here, Sandy. Thank you so much for having me here today. I'm really looking forward to our conversation, and I hope to share some valuable information for your audience, and hopefully they get something out of it today.
I know they're going to, because after our first call, I got to talk to Craig a bit before this. I was like, okay, he's going to be perfect for what they're asking for. All right, but before we dive into that, your one word that best describes your past 30 days, whatever pops in your head.
Past 30 days?
Yep, past 30 days, whatever pops in.
Busy.
Busy? Oh, my goodness. Okay. Yeah. I have to tell you, I don't think anyone's ever picked that. All right, I'm ready.
Yeah, just because it's been very busy with that. Yeah, I'm juggling a lot of different balls at the moment. I mean, it's all good stuff. You know, there's no complaints. But the month of May was extremely busy with just a variety of things that I have going on between, you know, I'm sure we'll get into a variety of topics. There's initiatives that I'm working on. And then family life. And like, for example, my son just graduated high school and we're navigating the college thing. And, you know, so May was a very busy month.
Okay. So let's dive into that. Would you consider yourself in general to be someone that likes to be busy?
Yes. I do not like to waste time.
Okay.
So, yeah. So that, you know, maybe sometimes a little more than I should be is I like to stay active and busy, but there's, you know, times that you need to just relax and chill. But for the most part, I just don't like wasting time. So I like to keep myself busy. There's so much to explore in life. Like, yeah. Why sit around, you know?
I'm with you. Okay. So then break it down for us. If this May was busy, and you said really busy, are there other times when you say, it's pretty ease and flow? Or is it just the amount of busy for you?
It's more the amount of busy. It's because I'm in a pretty good flow for the most part, based on where I'm at right now, just defining this next chapter in life. I'm sure we'll be talking about the previous chapter, obviously, but I've entered into this new chapter in life for the past 2 years, and it's good. It's very busy, but for the most part, I'd say 80% of the time I'm in good flow.
Yeah.
And then 20% of the time I get into a little bit, I took a little too much on, you know, but it's all manageable.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It seems to me that you're very aware when you get out of whack.
And yes. That,
like I said, there's a good busy, and I like being busy, and I like doing things and accomplishing things, but I could still feel in the flow. I know when I feel my body go jittery and then it's too much and I'm start feeling overwhelmed. And I can feel as if you get that. And the only thing different is you clean it up quicker.
Maybe. I mean, you might do a very good job yourself, I bet. But yes, I do recognize that. Like you're saying, I understand where you're coming from. Absolutely. And it's that awareness and then being able to understand that and know what to do with that is important.
Okay.
And I'm good at that. Yes.
Yeah. I would think you'd be really good at that. And it's not that I feel as if I've been practicing it for so long. It's been really a big part of me being an entrepreneur. I was really scared that I would lose my time with my family.
Mm.
And my mentors, who were males, I was very fortunate with this, Craig, were putting the fear of God. We don't want you to do what we did. Like, I don't want you to be sitting there with all this money on the hill and you'd be like, I miss my kid's life. Mm-hmm. So I think I was very fortunate in that. Yeah. Okay. That not always, but I was able to figure out, okay, I'm not going to do that. Yes. It could bring me X amount of dollars, but at what cost?
Right. Yeah. There's always a cost for everything. And I can completely relate to that with what you're saying. I had to, navigate that a number of times throughout the years, you know, and sometimes I had to sacrifice just because, you know, duty calls, you have to do what you have to do, but it was always something in my mind that, hey, I need to make sure that I am present. And that was one of the reasons for the eventual sell of my company, because as my children were getting older, I just wanted to make sure that I was able to manage my time much more effectively with them.
I like that. All right. So let's back up, man, because this has been a fun career.
Yeah, it has. It has.
I mean, it looks to me as if, were you always that kid? I mean, were you always creating things before anybody else ever imagined it? And, you know, in your head and like that kind of person, like, oh, I can see it.
Yeah, I do have a knack for just seeing things down the road, you know, a visionary aspect. It's just a innate natural ability of mine. And it's served me quite well over the years. And yeah, just since I was a little kid, I just had this creative gene in myself. And I actually was a musician in my younger years. I started playing piano when I was about 7 and guitar when I was 13. And I was in some bands in high school and into college. And that's actually was part of the reason for even starting my company. It was based on an aspect of music, combining the passion for music and technology, actually. So I've always had this creative streak. And then with that creativity coupled with a strong visionary aspect for seeing the future.
So did people think when you were starting digital first that you were totally whacked?
Like, well, a lot of people didn't understand, like, what is this? Like, what are you, computer, internet? What is that? Like, that was because when I started really getting into the idea, it was 1995, started the company in 1996, but in 1995 is when the idea was birthed and started doing a bunch of research, you know, going to like the college library where I went to college and you know, I was I graduated in 1994. Yeah. I got to rewind, get it right. And, so a year after I'm going back to the library and using, you know, their systems to look at like Jupyter research reports and so forth. And cause I was experimenting with getting, online through like America Online, you know, I'm really dating myself there, you know, with those CDs that they sent out to
them. Oh, I do remember.
Yeah, yeah. So I was, you know, really fascinated by the internet. And during college, to back up a little bit more, I volunteered for what was called the Multimedia Design Center And that was when all these new programs came out that were just like brand new, like Photoshop version 1.0 and Quark Express and Illustrator and all these different programs. And I taught myself those programs as a volunteer because I would teach other students and faculty how to use those programs. And I got really enamored by the software applications and what they can do and just technology in general. And then I started jumping online in 95. Really the idea, how it came about was, I'm kind of going off on a tangent here, if that's okay.
Oh, but, I love it. I love it. Keep going, man.
Okay. But I had picked up this CD-ROM magazine at this computer store on my way home one day, and it was called MusicNet. And I put it into my computer, and it had all these bands that I'd never heard of before. And I was like, wow, check this out. This is really neat. And then I showed it to a friend of mine that we were getting together playing music, you know, writing songs, jamming out on guitar and so forth. And, you know, since I was playing with the internet so much, I was like, wow, this would be really neat to do this online. You know, one thing led to another. And that was how rhythmnet.com was started. It was, we built it as a website where people can discover independent music, independent artists. They can listen to song samples online and buy their music CDs through a secure server. You know, way back in 1996, the 20th century, a digital first company marketing independent music. Yeah, that was the idea. It's just like fight the machine, level the playing field for independent artists.
Yeah, you
know,
yeah.
Give people choice. You know, it was a neat idea, but an idea before its time, because there's no broadband, there's no MP3s. People were afraid to buy stuff online, and there was only 30 million people worldwide online at the time. So getting back to your question, people are like, what is this you're doing? Internet? What? Like music and what? Song samples? Huh? Yeah. Well, but
I got so many questions about that, because my peeps were like, okay, he must have really had a difficult time trying to explain to people what he was doing. And what they asked me over and over, can you ask Craig, did he ever get like, okay, so frustrated that he wasn't going to do it because he couldn't even explain it to his family and friends, or it didn't matter?
You know, explaining it to people, I didn't mind. I'm very patient, and I was so excited and passionate about it. I was excited to share and explain and educate people about it. I didn't mind that part of it at all. It was just so new and exciting, actually, and it was neat to just share that with people. Where I got frustrated was, you know, you start a company. I was 25, right, when I started, you know, young and dumb, and had all these, had all these grandiose ideas of, oh yeah, we're just going to strike it rich. It's going to be easy. This is a great idea. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. And suddenly, you know, the reality of the struggle kicked in, and those first 5 years were really brutal. And there was times where I was very close to quitting a few times, and one time in particular, seconds away from quitting, actually. And that was, you know, where even when it goes beyond frustration, you know, it's the struggle that you have to overcome.
Okay. So you said seconds. What happened? Somebody gave you an offer? Like, I'm ready to quit. Wait.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. Now, because this is a good story to share. You know, all of us love stories, right? And this particular story really has to deal with the element of faith, which I talk about in my book, actually.
I
always had a strong conviction, a belief in myself that I was highly capable and could accomplish what I set out to do. And I also had very strong faith in the higher power. And I feel that's really important. I really advocate that, because it's the element of faith is what helps you get you through your darkest time and helps you overcome your biggest struggles. And at this particular time, I think it was about 3 years, maybe 4 years most into the company, And I was working at the office. It was late at night, past midnight, wintertime. It was extremely cold in the office just because it was an industrial warehouse space. And it got super cold in there. So I was all bundled up, gloves on, working away.
Was what we imagined that you should be doing.
Yeah, you know, it's just part of the deal. You know, it sounds a little cliche, but hey, you're freezing, working in the cold, even though it's a kind of computer, but it was just an interesting thing. And I'm by myself. It's like, whatever, 12:30, 1 a.m. And I just was really distraught because at the time, it was such a struggle, barely making anything. You know, money was coming in to cover expenses, but no real take-home cash, much at all. And a bunch of my friends, they were in their careers, had jobs at places, and they were, you know, having success and having fun and going out and doing their things. And here I was just like working constantly, 7 days a week. You know, I was working, you know, 80 plus, 90 hours a week, and no holidays, working those, no vacations, you know, but that's what you have to do. You just do what you have to do. You know, it is what it is. And at times it gets to you, right? It can get to you.
Yeah.
And this particular evening, it was really getting to me. Just all these thoughts of like, what am I doing? Am I stupid? Am I crazy?
Were you single? Wait, I just want to know, were you single at the time?
I was single, but I had a girlfriend who became my wife, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was she supportive? I need to, was she supportive or was she?
In some ways, yeah, she's around. So she knows this story. She knows. In some ways, extremely supportive. I can explain that. But in other ways, like she also, it was a bit challenging because she wasn't used to entrepreneurship. Like her family, they had jobs and, you know, they didn't have any sort of entrepreneurial aspects in their family. So she didn't quite have that understanding or empathy for it. And it was kind of like, oh, kind of wish you had a regular job, you know? And I was like, well, I don't.
So much time and pressure and seeing the stress. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, yeah. So, but she did help me a lot because she was a graphic designer and I learned a lot from her, actually, from a creative aesthetic standpoint, and utilize, like, she was an expert at Photoshop and Illustrator, and actually we ended up hiring her at times. Yeah. And she was kind of like our heavy hitter when it came to design work. Once we kind of started doing stuff for companies, but, so yeah, it was kind of, it was interesting, right? There was support, but there was also, a challenge to it a bit. Absolutely. So that's why for me, am I stupid? Am I crazy? Like, what am I doing? Like, everyone else is like, you know, having success. I'm like just struggling. Like, what's going on? And I was really distraught and just kind of like head down, hanging down, and literally like, you know, a tear or two coming out of my eye, just so distraught about the whole thing. I was like, just thinking, I'm going to quit. This is it. I'm done. I got to figure something else out. And then I just had this compelling urge to check my email. And so I checked it and I got this email from one of my vendors. It was like, thank you, in the subject line. So interesting. So I started reading it and it was from one of our web hosting vendors. And he was talking, the email started saying, I just want to thank my customers. I'm really grateful to all of you. I've really achieved a level of success. You know, I just sold the company and I was so close to quitting a number of times, but I hung in there, you know, overcame the challenges. And, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but essentially it was like a few paragraphs of telling the story of his struggle and how he was so close to quitting, but he didn't. And now he has this great level of success. And it was the message I needed at that very moment to hear that got me through that moment. Yeah. Yeah. I read that. Yeah. And I was like, wow. Okay. So I got over myself, my little whiny self, and went home and slept. And I woke up the next day with hope for the future, you know, and just a renewed sense of optimism. And, you know, that message came literally at the right second that got me through that moment. And that's faith. That's divine guidance. That's divine timing coming in to help. You know, I advocate that whatever someone's belief, I know, you know, put any sort of, oh, you should be this or that, whatever one's belief system is. But yeah, I do advocate, you know, there's that other side that loves you, supports you, and guides you. That's, you know, wants to see you succeed, and it can really help you overcome.
Absolutely. So I thank you for sharing that story, by the way. And I love that story, and it is going to help a lot of people. Somebody's going to tune into this and be like, I just need to hear that too. Because as much as people say it over and over, so many people that are extremely successful say it's that little bit where people just give up, you know, they're just an inch away and they quit. Yes. And if they didn't, you know, they would have achieved everything. And I do believe it's that faith, you know, that you have in yourself and some power outside there of you guiding you, you know, when you're willing to tune into it. Mm-hmm. And you were. So let's stay with this a little bit. So here you are, ready to give up. So understand, open that message. You're like, nope, I'm not giving up. How long from then to when you thought, we made it, we've arrived?
Well, that struggle, that intense struggle still lasted a couple more years, you know, but right around, I'd say 2001, 5 years into the business, there start to reach a level of success where, okay, things are really starting to move. Okay, really starting to get some traction and heading in the right direction, more clients, money. We had also adjusted our business model in 1998. We started doing web design for companies. We kept the music thing on the side, but all these companies kept coming to us saying, hey, you know, this internet stuff, can you do our website? And they're like, yeah, sure. And after like a year of fielding those calls, it was like, you know, light bulb moment. Oh, let's adapt, right? Let's adapt. and start focusing here. And so 3 years or so into that model is when we started seeing a good amount of traction and success. And at that time too, in 98, talking about the visionary ability, saw a vision for the landscape of marketing and how a modern marketing agency would be functioning by combining the traditional offline model with the new modern online technology model, and that they need to be integrated. So seeing that, just started picking up a bunch of capabilities and skill sets along the ways to build up that model. So email marketing, search marketing, even learning print design, doing packaging and CD-ROM replication for all those musicians, the package design, the CD design, the brokering, the printing and the replication. Then led to doing CD-ROMs, and that led to a whole other thing that was very our own little tech platform that we had for that, which was really cool and forward, very progressive. And in 2001 is when that stuff started to really kind of come together, and we started hitting in a better stride and able to add more employees and just start scaling. But it was still slow managed growth as far as when, to answer your question, this is a long way of answering your question, when did I feel like, oh yeah, this is now, now we're here. That probably, it was probably around 2006 is when really start to feel very confident in the direction that we were going, like very confident.
So I really want to home in on this. So how many years, tell them, from the year of conception, the idea, was it until 2006?
10. Yeah, the first 5 years was a brutal struggle and getting over that. You know, you talk about like the wall and punching through that wall, because that success is right on the other side. That was one leap in achievement, but it was very slow managed growth moving forward. Once at that 10-year mark, yeah, we're growing, but slow managed growth. The growth started to pick up a bit, but then there was that great recession that came in 2008, which was interesting. We weathered that pretty good, but there were some challenges, but also some great achievements too during that time. And then it really wasn't until 2012 when we hit like a really rapid acceleration period of growth, where we landed on the Inc. 5000 list of fastest growing private companies in the United States for 5 years in a row from 2012. 2017, right around there. Yeah. Yeah. And that during that period, it was like, it was just another layer of like, okay, yeah, now we're really kicking butt. Right. So it was kind of stair step.
I think it's so important for people to really home in on this, because sometimes they'll see, oh my God, look at this company, 2012, it's growing lightning bolts out of nowhere. But hold on.
Yeah. That overnight success.
And that's what it looks like to people. You know what I mean? Like,
that's right.
And some get it. God bless. But
yes,
the behind the scenes story, I always say to people, do you really want that? Because there's nothing wrong with it. There's a lot of people, when you describe what you went through, go, mayday.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't want that kind of life.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
That is okay. Yeah. It's not for everybody.
Life as an entrepreneur, this is what it's about. And exactly. You don't know if you're going to get that 2012 huge hit. You just don't know. But right. You have to love what, you know, I always say, it wasn't like my clubs were always successful. There were days I was like, okay, I'm going to plug this hole. Wait, I got to plug that hole. You know, I'm losing my, but there wasn't a day gone by that I didn't say, I'm so glad I'm doing what I'm doing. Even though there were days of complete struggle and bang my head against the wall, right. I still wanted to be an entrepreneur.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. There's something special about that where, you know, whether it's the freedom aspect of it or wanting to control your own destiny, all these different reasons to be an entrepreneur, right? But I understand where you're coming from. It's just this feeling that you gotta go at it and just keep going, and things will work out, but you gotta keep going at it.
Yeah. All right, the book. I mean, I could talk to you forever, and I'm looking at the time. I'm like, holy moly, I got a million questions. We're not going to get them all in. You can reach out to Craig, but I need to switch gears here, because sure. If I don't get in the book, my peeps are going to be really upset at me.
Okay. So, the book.
The book. Tell us about the book. When you decided to write the book, what, you know, was going through your head about the kung fu and the business? Come on. We need
sure.
to know.
So Business Kung Fu, right? That's the title of the book. And you know, to back up a step, why did I even write the book in the first place? Is books were my very first passion in life. As soon as I was able to read, I always had a book in my face, like constantly reading when I was a kid. And when I was a teenager, I just had this thought, like, oh, I'd like to write a book someday. That'd be great, because I love books so much. And I was always reading. And I just didn't know like what I was going to write about. And then fast forward to around 2011 is when the idea popped into my mind. Oh, Business Kung Fu. Yeah, that's what I'll write about. It'll be great. It took me 12 years to get it done, but hey, it's done. And it's a better book that it took that amount of time because of all the additional experience that I gained, as opposed to if I would have wrote it in, say, a year and put it out there. It's a much better book that it took the time that it took, and it is released now, you know, in my opinion, because of all that additional experience that I'm able to provide and share. And the concept of Business Kung Fu, why it's called that, is I studied Chinese Kung Fu from age
7. I was going to say, I hope you've done Kung Fu or we're in big trouble.
Yeah. Definitely not a poser. I was really studying Kung Fu intensely for 8 years, 17 to 25. Okay. And I still study today, but that time period, I was like really into it. And I, to 25, and then when I started my company at 25, that's when I was like, I just like went all in, like 1,000% into the company, and all time was in that, right? So I, and there's a whole other story maybe we'll get to about health and wellness and all that stuff. But all those principles, concepts, philosophy that I learned from martial arts, I applied to running my company, ways, my mindset, ways of organizing, structuring things, discipline, aspects of discipline, all these different aspects, principles that I learned from martial arts, I actually applied to running the company. So that's what the book is about. It tells that story of that mindset and the approach that I took, and it provides all kinds of examples and so forth. So, yeah.
Okay. So again, the concept came 12 years ago. For 12 years.
Yeah, 2011. Yep.
And because they're going to want to know this, were you writing every day on it, or is it something the spirit moved you and then you're like, oh, I have an idea and let's write a chapter?
Yeah, it's more when the spirit moved me. When I started it, when I thought of the concept, I created an outline. And, you know, shortly thereafter, I think I wrote the preface first. Yeah, the preface. And then later on, I wrote, you know, the first chapter. And then as the years progressed, I'd write, you know, a chapter here or there. And then I'd go back and look at the outline. Is it still valid? Yeah. Oh, wait a second. It's not quite complete. And I'd add something or I'd modify. So it's kind of like, you know, probably the first 6 years was really just kind of occasional writing and modifying, reviewing what was up. And then I got so busy and inundated because, again, from 2012, a year after when I had the idea, to 2017, we hit that, you know, Inc. 5000 5 years in a row. And then at that time, also, I made the decision that it's time to sell the company. And I think that was around 2016 when we started to work towards getting the company sold. And that took that was a 3-year process for us. And that is a monumental effort in and of itself. And to do that and also keep the company growing and growing profitably, it just took a lot of time and effort. So that was the priority. The writing the book was a very low priority. So I only, you know, hit it here and there. Once got the company sold, you know, touch it a little bit here and there. But then once I left 2 years ago, that's when I really had the time. I was like, oh, finally I have enough time. I'm going to finish this. And, you know, just went back, revised the outline again a little bit, and then just knocked the rest out. And here we are.
Okay. So I love that you use the mentality of what you learned through your Kung Fu experience with business. Because for me, even, you know, people will say, what do you mean you used what you learned in dance and applied that to business? It's the same thing. It was the mindset, the discipline.
Yes.
And the same thing I learned from when I started working with sports teams, Craig, is their mental capacity to stay focused was just the professional athlete, mind blowing to me.
Yes.
And what they did to tune out the ones that were successful, I would study them about what they did to shift out of all the negative naysayers and when things weren't going well.
Yes.
And how they got into their own zone, because otherwise, you know, you start, they go, no, we don't listen to the radio because it'll drive you crazy. And you'll start believing this stuff. And then what fascinated, and I'm sure you know this, how they hired therapists and sports psychologists to make sure they stayed mentally healthy and in the zone. I'm like, oh my God. So for me, when I saw Business Kung Fu, I'm like, oh my God, this is incredible. It's just mind blowing that you put the two of them, like, it seems like, duh, but I've never seen it before. So can we break just a little bit of that? I don't know if it's in your book or not. So we talk about, you and I, three different things. And one of them was the five elements of success. Is that a part of your book also?
It is. It's actually in the first chapter, and your audience could download that first chapter for free at my website. So they can learn about the five elements of success at no cost. They go there and download the first chapter. But it's a really great model that I borrowed from Chinese five element theory. And Chinese five element theory really permeates throughout Chinese culture, and not only martial arts, but medical systems, food, music.
Why don't you review that for the audience?
Sure. So there's five elements, right? And these elements are fire, earth, metal, water, and wood. And these elements, there's a creative cycle or generative cycle where they kind of lead into the next. And then there's like a destructive cycle where it goes the other direction. And then there's these interrelationships, like a controlling or influencing relationship or an insulting relationship. And it kind of creates this star pattern between these five elements. And it's all about balance. you know, these the five elements are in everything in our reality. And just like our ourselves as people, we have aspects of our five element constitution. And even like our organs, each of our organs stands for, there's the five yin organs that are represented by each of these elements. Like the heart is fire, and the spleen is earth, right? Kidneys is water, lungs are metal, and the liver is wood. So there's all these different aspects of staying in balance. And we get knocked out of balance quite a bit. And how quickly can you get back to balance and maintain that balance? And, you know, from my knowledge of that, I identified five elements of success, which my book's in an entrepreneurial context, but mm-hmm. you can actually extrapolate that and apply it to pretty much anything, any endeavor in life, really.
Yeah.
And so these elements that I identified, and I like to start with passion. It can start from any of the elements, actually, but I think it's easiest to start with passion to explain it. Passion, and passion leads to discipline. Discipline leads to expertise. Expertise leads to confidence, and confidence leads to faith. So there's that cycle, that generative cycle, where you build the capacity of each of those elements. There's the potential, and you fulfill that potential. And then it's about maintaining that balance, because, you know, things can start to diminish if they go backward, or if a certain element has an excess or deficient condition, it could have a negative impact on another element. So it's all about balance. And again, when you get knocked out of balance, how quickly can you come back to balance and maintain that? And in an entrepreneurial context, it's super important. And for a multitude of reasons, and this is just, it's based on my personal experience, you know, as an entrepreneur, for my own self, my own behavior, my own mental, emotional state, and everything I went through, but also observing others as well. And that's how I came up with the model.
Yeah, I was on a call right before we were doing this podcast, and this businessman, call him Joe was saying that fitness was so important in his life and his family's life, and eating healthy. That's all it was about. Like he grew up that way, and his business has taken off recently, and he's never been more unhealthy.
Mm. Yeah.
The business is doing really well. And someone said, you know, to call Sandy, but he was saying, how could this be? Like, how could I get here? But he's scared to start taking care of himself. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm going to ask Craig, because it just so happens he's scared to start taking care of himself, that is going to affect his business. And I'm thinking, oh my God, no. But go ahead.
Yeah, that's a great segue into something else I really hope that we touched upon, is service to self so that you can be of service to others. I have a saying in my book, be of service to self so you can be of service to others for a lifetime.
Yeah.
Because if you're not taking care of yourself, what ends up happening, I learned this the hard way. I'm very passionate about this. You will deplete yourself to where you're not as effective as you used to be, as you could be. You know, if you're taking care of yourself, you can perform at an optimal level for a sustainable period way into the future. You know, so that's why I say be a service to self so you can be a service to others for a lifetime. And in my personal experience, my story, you know, when I started the company, I was in great shape from all the martial arts I was doing and strength training, and I was just in great shape. And I was just so into the company, the business, and just, you know, working like crazy, doing what I needed to do. I neglected my self-care. 10 years later, I was like the opposite end of the spectrum, just overweight, just, you know, bad diet, just sitting all the time, which is awful for you. And fast forward to around 2016, 15, I was already starting to work on my health around 2012, because I just noticed, like, my energy was so low, And there was a whole bunch of issues and symptoms I was having. Come to find out in 2016, I find out I have diabetes. Like, oh no, that this sucks. Like, I'm too young for this. And I expected I'd have a challenge with it at some point, but wow, already. And that was a big kick in the butt where, I'd already started working on my health. I had started a Qigong practice for a couple of years, which maybe we'll have time to talk about that. But that's when I really kicked in the gear and I reversed diabetes completely, 100% naturally. And it all made sense when I got that diagnosis, because like, oh, this is why I have foggy brain. Oh, this is why I'm so tired in the afternoon. Oh, this is why after I eat dinner at night with the family, I sit on the couch to work and I pass out on the couch for 2 hours, without being able to control. And what was that doing? It was detracting from my performance. Because how can you make good decisions when you have a foggy brain? When you're tired in the afternoon and you can get triggered much more easily through interactions with people, right? In various situations, that clarity of mind, clarity of thinking is being impacted. The energy to just keep, I could go on and on and on, and it was the complete opposite. And now, turning it around, I feel just like I did when I was in my 20s.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you. And I can go and go. And now the way I feel is like, I have no problem being of service to others, and I can be of service to others for the rest of my life. It's all good, but it takes making your own self-care a priority, and it's different for everybody. I have my regimen through Qigong, which is an important part of it. Martial arts, still strength training also. Proper diet, sleep, hydration, steps, walking, it's a multitude of things, especially when you have the challenge of diabetes. It's a whole lot of war that you have to fight land, air, and sea kind of thing, all fronts. My way is not the only way. Some people might be into yoga. Some people are into running. Some people are into whatever, basketball or sport of their choice, dance, right? All kinds of different things. As long as people can find their way and make their own self-care a priority, it's huge. It's one of the most important lessons I learned the hard way.
I agree. And I do, as much as it just seems so logical, unfortunately, there are so many entrepreneurs that find themselves in that position.
Yeah, it's tough because, you're passionate about your business, you want to get everything done, you may be struggling and you figure I just got to keep going. I keep going. It's just so easy to fall into that trap of where you're being of service to everyone else and not being of service to yourself at all. Right.
Yeah.
And it takes its toll. Yep.
All right. Let's touch on this. We did a little bit, but I want to do it again at the end. The three levels of discipline. And you say show up, being productive, and being effective.
Yes. So in that five element model, discipline, I mentioned like passion leads to discipline, right? Mm-hmm. And I have a whole chapter on discipline and then a subsequent chapter on discipline technique. So obviously I think discipline is really important. And actually Kung Fu means disciplined person. Business Kung Fu is like a disciplined person of business, right? And discipline, the first level of the way I see it is showing up, which sounds really simple and kind of like, okay, well, like, duh. But it's funny. Just through my experience, not everybody shows up, and as an entrepreneur, you have to show up every day. You have to be willing to show up every day, getting out of bed when you're tired. And we're talking about all this self-care, but still, even though when you're taking care of yourself, there'll be those times when you're just like, maybe I should just take it easy today. No, you got to have that discipline and show up. So you have to show up. Now, once you show up, which is funny also, because I've seen it, people might show up a lot every day, but not everyone is productive. They're showing up, but they're goofing off, right? They're just sitting and chatting or playing games or surfing the net, whatever, right? They're not doing work. They're not being productive. So that's the second level. You have to be productive, you know, produce whatever it is, product or service that you're working on.
Yeah.
Now, with that productivity, though, it has to be effective, meaning that you have to produce value. You know, whatever you're working on. So you've shown up, great. You're productive, awesome. But you have to be effective, meaning that you're actually producing value that someone out in the marketplace is going to be willing to compensate you fairly for the time that it takes to do that production. You have to create value. You have to be effective in order to be successful. So those are like the three levels of discipline. And then the next chapter, I do go into discipline technique, which is about taking, in the martial arts context, we would take a technique and we would elevate it to where it was called a discipline technique, where it was the strike with the biggest impact. And the way we would demonstrate that is through breaking materials like cement and red bricks.
Yeah.
So, you know, like palming or chopping red bricks and kicking, you know, all that stuff, all types of breaking materials. It was a way to demonstrate the discipline technique. Now you take that to the world of business. What I'm talking about there is taking your craft, your expertise, that through a discipline approach that you're developing, because discipline leads to expertise, is that you have your core products or service elevated to such a high level, they become a core product or service offering. Those are your discipline techniques. And that needs to be a part of your business model. Like, you can do a bunch of things, but like, what are your core superpowers in a sense?
Yeah. You know, I was just listening to a podcast about, you know, motivation and forget motivation, meaning that not every day you wake up and go, I can't wait, you know, to go work out. I can't wait to work on this project. And what gets you through to do that? And everybody has their own opinion. I love this. But for me, I said to someone, I call it my BAM, my bare ass minimum. Like, there's no way I'm not going to go through a day without doing this. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's no way I'm not working out today. Some people call it their standard. Like, I've heard people say, like, there's no way I'm not going to do this. But I want to get back to what you said at the beginning, because it's really important. And I know not everyone feels this way, but for me, it's always been that guiding light, knowing there's something bigger than me out there to help me shine my light bright, even on the days I don't want to. And I get up knowing that I'm going to be, when you say service to yourself and others, I always say give, receive. I say that every single day, and to guide me on how I can serve others and myself. And I do that every single day. And whether that's what motivates me on the days where I don't feel like doing it, I know for me, connecting just even to my heart, coming from love, peace, and joy, it's the one that drives me on the days I don't feel motivation. Because they're right. When you're motivated, you're usually in your jam. You know what I mean? Things are going well, right? Yes. It's like you're on your zone. The company's doing well. You're getting speaking gigs. The book's flowing. But what drives you when that doesn't happen?
You know, that is a perfect example of what I'm talking about with my five elements of success, because what you said about, you know, that belief in something outside of yourself, that faith element you were talking about. Okay. So faith has that controlling relationship with discipline, meaning it's like a grandparent relationship. So it influences the potential. So through your strong sense of faith, Your discipline element, say it's a circle like this, is the potential that is increased. And now that faith leads into passion, right? So it's influencing discipline, but it leads into passion, that faith. And then you get that passion, the motivation through your passion, which then leads into the discipline. But that discipline has been expanded because of faith. And then the passion is filling that potential. So it's a perfect example that you just provided. That is why I believe strongly in that, my five element model. It just worked.
I love it. And I didn't even plan that.
Yeah. That's cool, right?
All right. I can't believe it. We're out of time. I can't.
Oh, wow.
I knew it was going to be like, okay.
Yeah, we're having fun. So
and not only that, I'm learning. Like, I love the way you frame things. I'm like, oh, I didn't think of it that way. And I know it's going to help so many people. But a couple things. First of all, before we go, is there anything we didn't get in or I didn't ask you that you want to say to the people around the world?
Yeah, wow. Great question. We covered a lot of ground, but one thing with entrepreneurs, I would say is really make sure you take an introspective look as to why you want to go into business to begin with. Because we talked about it, it's an interesting journey, right? It's not for everyone, but for those that are considering it, why? What is it, purely for monetary reasons? Materialistic reasons? Is there a higher purpose that you're actually serving? Is there passion behind it? It's going to take you a lot further if you have a higher purpose, some sort of societal benefit, a reason to be, a purpose that you're going to be serving, as opposed to just strictly chasing money, right? Yeah. So really, take that introspective look and make sure that you're ready to embark on this journey, because it's going to be challenging and it's going to take everything you have.
100% agree. Okay. Now, where can they find you? Because I know you're available for speaking gigs and teaching workshops.
Yes. So thank you very much. I appreciate that. And the two best ways to find me, one, my website, which is csquaredpro.io. So the letter C squared spelled out pro.io, csquaredpro.io. And there's a form people can fill out. I monitor that all the time. And then also on LinkedIn, very simple, LinkedIn/in/Craig Cook with the E at the end of Cook. So, and if people Google me, I pop up. Search for me on LinkedIn, I pop up. Business Kung Fu is available on Amazon. You can search for it on Google and it'll be right there. Number one, Business Kung Fu. And you can go on Amazon, search for it, Business Kung Fu, it'll pop up. I'm planning on releasing it through other channels soon, but that's where it's available at the moment. And I'm excited. I just won a couple of awards for the book. I'm very excited about that. So
really, tell us.
I won the best self-help book from the Independent Reader Discovery Awards. Just found out. Yeah, thank you. Just found that out.
That's really good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And then I won, I placed as a finalist in two categories from the Next Generation Independent Reader Awards, in the business category, and also best overall design. Because the book actually, I took the time, which you don't normally find in business books, because normally they're just black and white, but I went full color. So that it provides more of an experience. Because with my company, it was all about experience, creating experiences. And it's just something that I wanted people to just have much more of an impact as they're getting this information in. So that it was just something that they can hopefully retain the information better, and it just gives them a pleasurable experience, even at a subconscious level.
Yeah, and that matters. It matters.
It matters. All these details matter.
It all matters. All right, my Let's Keep It Real people, come on. You are going to know way more than even just one person to share, like, and rate this with. Craig and I would definitely, definitely appreciate it and be most grateful. And you know what I'm going to say? Until next time, thanks, Craig, and toodles.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to share and subscribe if you enjoyed the show. And remember, keep spreading the positive.